But every time I have been injured, I would have to say that that's when I've had my focus on the weights rather than on my shape. It's been when I've had to focus on my achievements rather than on my form. You know, when you have a personal trainer or you have someone amazing that understands what they're doing, they will come alongside you and they're really not even looking at the weight, they're looking at the shape of you. They're looking at your form. They're looking at your progress. And I don't know how many times I've had to humble myself and pull off the weight and pull off and even hand over my bar and I could get in a wooden stick. And everyone else, like Patrick and everyone else, and they're, you know, they're lifting their big weights and here I am with a wooden stick, you know, feeling all macho. I'm like, I can lift a stick. And then other times, you know, they would come over and say, you're not worthy of a stick. And they'll give me an elastic. Here, you lift an elastic. And I don't know how many times I've sat through a class lifting an elastic just thinking, what am I doing? And I'm paying for this. Seriously? But the fact is this, when you focus on the weight, often you will start to lose focus on your shape. But the shape of you is more important than the weight of you. The shape of you is more important than the weight of you. You know, we want to get stronger and we want to lift heavier and we want to do greater things. But I believe that, you know, as a church, that we are going to achieve greater things. I can see when I'm looking at our church, I can see our church reaching tens of thousands of people. I can see our church booking and hiring some of the biggest venues and arenas in this city. I can see that happening one day. I can see our City Care helping tens of thousands of people that are not, you know, that are not privileged and that are living on the streets and that are going through addictions and they're in pain in life. I can see our church in that place. I can see our kingdom builders bringing gifts in the millions in order to bless the kingdom. I can see this church reaching thousands and thousands of people who have never heard the gospel of a loving God and a God that loves them and has a plan and a hope for them. I can see that. But we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the journey. We're going to make sure we get today right. We're going to make sure that we get the health of this church right, because if we can stay healthy, it is only a matter of time before we will achieve and we will pass those milestones, but we're not going to throw everything at it just so that we can pass some imaginary milestone, because it's not about the weight, it's about the shape, it's about the form. As our senior pastor says, don't focus on growth, focus on health, because healthy things grow. Yes, we want to grow trees. Yes, we want to grow a forest of trees. But it takes time. Our job is just to get the soil healthy. Get it healthy and then just give it time. And with time, we will get there. With time, we will get there. If you're generous with your credit card, you're not being generous. You're being stupid. You can say amen to that. If you're being generous with your credit card, you're not being generous, because you're being generous with the bank's money. Generosity is when you're being generous with your own money, with your savings. And we can say, oh no, let's achieve a milestone, and let's believe for this, and let's believe for that, and let's push ourselves. But now you're focusing on the weight rather than on your shape. And the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. Just give it time. Give it time. That's why as a church, you know, we will only expand out of position of strength. You know, I would love to say, hey, next week, we're going to start a weekly service in Aarhus. I mean, I would love to make that announcement. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? We're going to start, but you know what's going to happen? Our church is going to be injured. Our volunteers are going to get hurt. We're just not in a place of strength to do that yet. We will get there, just not yet. We're just going to make sure we focus on the shape of us. We focus on our form, and then it's only a matter of time before we get there. We don't just expand just because we can. We expand because we have the strength to. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The shape of you. So we focus on our form, and the weight will come. We focus on our shape, and the results will come. And I just pray that as a church, that we will always celebrate people's progress. That we will always celebrate people's processes in life and their journey. And that's why we always say that your direction is more important than your position. Because it's not where you're at that's important. It's where you're going. In which direction is your life moving? In Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not become weary while doing good, because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You see, at the gym, it's pretty simple. You know, they will pull you aside and they will say, well, straighten your back, pop your chest, you know, chin up, and then lift. And there was, you have a certain shape, you have a certain form, you have a certain posture. But I believe as Christians, we have a certain posture as well. And I want to just talk about just three elements to our shape, three elements to our posture in order to live this life right without injuring ourselves. Is that okay? All right. The first thing is this, eyes up. Eyes up. Everybody say eyes up. Eyes up. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we live by faith and not by sight. There are so many things that's trying to grab our attention. There's so many things that's trying to distract us. There's so many things that is keeping us off focus and keeping us, you know, focused on all the wrong things. I think one of the main things that we do as parents is tell our girls, stop distracting each other. Because we'll say to one of them, okay, go and get your pajamas on. And then the other girl who's already got her pajamas on will run in and do like a dance or whatever. And then straight away, the other person now is getting distracted. And we're like, stop distracting. You know, we'll split them apart. It's like, you do what you need to do and you do what you need to do. But we're like that in life. We're getting distracted by all these things. We get distracted by challenges. We get distracted by other people's success. We get distracted by all the natural. But the Bible encourages us to not to live by sight, but to live by faith. Eyes up. Eyes up. Look at the right things. Focus on the right one. Realize that God is bigger than your circumstances. That does not mean that we put our head in the sand like an ostrich and we try and pretend that the problems are not there. It's not about denying reality, but it's recognizing a greater reality. It's recognizing that God, He is faithful. It's recognizing that, yes, this might be a tough day and we'll do everything in the natural we can do, but our focus will still be on Jesus. Our focus will be on what God, He has said. You see, faith isn't logical. Faith isn't illogical. Faith is theological. Let me say that again. Faith isn't logical, but faith is not illogical either. Faith is theological. See, it's not based on reason, and as some atheist thing, it's not based on us being crazy. It's based on the reality of God. When Peter, he stood in the boat, and he spoke out to Jesus, who was walking on water. What did he say? He says, hey, Jesus, Master, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And he steps out. Jesus says, it is I, come. Now, the real translation of that is actually, I am, come. Which is just, we don't have time to unpack that. But basically, he's saying, I'm greater than this storm. I'm a greater reality. I am the voice. I'm the one who's spoken since time began. I'm the one that when I spoke, all of this was created. So when I say walk, you can walk. So he says to Peter, come to me. And Peter steps out. That moment is not logical. All his fisher friends would have been like, are you about to walk out on water, Peter? That's not logical, but it's not illogical either. He hadn't lost his mind. He hadn't drunk salt water. He had not lost his mind. It was not a moment of madness. It was a moment of faith. He didn't step out. It wasn't logical. He didn't step out on illogical either. It wasn't a moment of madness. No, it was a theological moment. Because he stepped out on the word of God. He didn't walk on water. He walked on the word of God. The question is, what has God said? What has he spoken to you about? Before the storm, Jesus said to the disciples, let us go to the other side. He didn't say that on the way to the other side, there wouldn't be a storm. He just said, let us go to the other side. So if you're in the middle of the storm and it seems like Jesus is asleep and you go, what's going on? It looks like the storm is going to take us down. What has God said? He said, let us go to the other side. So if he has said he will take you to the other side, it doesn't matter what storm is going to come on the way, he will get you to the other side. What has he said? What has he spoken to you about? What has he spoken to you about in your marriage? What has he spoken to you about in your ministry? What has he spoken to you about in your business? What has he spoken to you about in your life? About your health, about your finance, about your children, about your parents. What has he spoken to you about? I wonder in your life, where should you step out of your comfort zone in order to step into your grace zone? Where should you step out of your comfort zone? Where you have eyes down, focus on all the natural, and step into your grace zone. That's where the adventure lies. That's where God, he shows up. That's where God's strength is enough. That's where his grace is enough. That's where we're not relying on our own strength. That's where we're not relying on our own ability. That's where we're not relying on just all the people around us. That's where his grace is enough. Eyes up. Eyes up. Second part of our posture is hands out. Hands out. Talking about the shape of you. Talking about not being injured in life. First of all, eyes up. Second of all, in Malmo, you can do this. Hands out. Hands out. In Proverbs 3:27, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to act. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to act. That's what I love about Phil and Nina and everything they do with A21. They're not rock stars. They're not superstars. They're not like, you know, the best on the planet at, you know, human trafficking and all that stuff. They weren't like super qualified before Nick and Christine Kane asked them to come on board. Really, for them, it was just, it is within our power to do something. So why shouldn't we? It is within our power to run a marathon. Just, you know, no, Phil's a beast as well. There's a lot of beasts here this morning, which is a good thing, by the way. And do not withhold good if it's within your power to do so. You see, when you live with your hands open, you're ready to receive and you're ready to give. Or, you know, if you can say it another way, if you make yourself ready to give, God is ready to bless you. Because if he knows he can get it through you, he has no problem getting it to you. And you know, I know that I've heard all the sayings. I've grown up in it. I've heard all the sayings about God's blessing and his prosperity. And as soon as we hear that word, I know for some that have grown up in church, alarm bells go off. But do not allow bad teachings of the past to determine your future about what God can do in your life. God does want to bless you. He does want to prosper you. He does want to give you health. And yes, he does want to give you wealth. But not so that you can just sit in a bigger house. Not just so that you can have a nicer car. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. But so that you can be a blessing. It's not about giving so that I can get. It's about giving so that I can continue to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing. I receive so that I can give, and then I can turn around and say, I've given it all. I'm ready for more. So that we can be a blessing to the people around us. Blessed to be a blessing. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:10. It says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase the store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He supplies seed to the sower. You can flip that and say, if you don't sow, he's not going to supply seed. He supplied seed to the sower. If you continue to sow, God will continue to supply seed. If you continue to live a life of generosity, a life of blessing people around you, and that we're not just talking about finances, we're talking about your time, your talent, your treasure, your energy, your words. If you speak words of affirmation, words of encouragement, it's amazing how God will bless you. It's amazing if you can help other, whether it's physical help, whether it's, you know, mental health, whether it's just an encouragement along the way, whether it's a pat on the back saying you're doing a great job, you know, sowing into, but also financially, if you can be a blessing to people around us, it's amazing how God supplies seed to the sower. Generosity is not an action, it's a lifestyle. It's not just, I was generous in 1995, so I'm good. No, it's a lifestyle. It is something that we have an eye of generosity, that we just get into a habit of looking for ways to be generous, looking for ways that if you're at the supermarket, or just, you know, excuse me, I'll take your bill. If you're at the cafe, no, I'll get your coffee. If wherever it might be, that we're just known for our generosity. A way of being generous is a lifestyle of generosity. Look at Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. And whoever refreshes others will be refreshed themselves. Isn't that amazing, that verse? A generous person will prosper. That, you know, in our world doesn't make sense. And whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So if you're feeling a bit dry right now, well, natural and conventional wisdom will tell us, I need to just focus on me. No, remember, eyes up, hands out. Just focus on you. You're going to end up getting injured. No, eyes up, hands out. If you're feeling dry, start refreshing others. If you're feeling lonely, start being a friend to someone else. If you feel a little bit left out, start including someone else. It's amazing how it turns around on you. He who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. Eyes off yourself, eyes up, hands out. He who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. The more you hold on, the more you actually lose it. You know, we should be diligent, we should be good steward, but when everything comes out of a spirit of control, I've sat at some dinner parties and we've gone out for dinner, and afterwards, it's like, now I'm not talking about being good steward, be a good steward. But when it's a matter of control, that's when it steps over into something else. And I've sat there and you know, people with they got five calculators out and they're like, all right, the bill is this much. And, you know, ever since we got the bill, there's been inflation in place as well. And there's been interest on my bank. And, you know, that means that you owe me 117 krona and 5 euros, 6 euros, 5 euros, 6 euros, 7 euros, 10 euros. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? I'll get the bill. When it comes to a spirit of control, you know, it's amazing how everything just shuts off. Generosity is a lifestyle. You know, it's not about holding on. In this world, we get taught, if you hold on, you get to keep it. I think if we live a life that's a bit more like this, it's amazing how God tends to bless it. If as a pastor I'm trying to hold people, it's amazing how quickly you lose people. You know, we have people that come to our church, and we've also got people who leave our church. They might leave because they're moving somewhere or you know, a different season of life, or they just want to go to another church. You know, that's fine. And if in that moment I'm trying to do this, you're not allowed to leave. You know what? Not only will I lose them, there'll probably be a whole bunch of other people that want to leave as well. But if you can have a spirit that says, you know what, we'll bless you. We want to encourage you and say, you know what, the door is always open. You know what? The key's under the mat and the back light is open on the porch. You just come back whenever you want to. If you ever feel like coming home, you're welcome home. It's amazing how when there is a spirit of release, that the blessing comes around again. He who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. Get into the habit of sowing. Get in the habit of giving. And yes, I know we can hear finances, but we all have something. Some of us have time we can give. Some of us have finances. And all of us, we've got talent. So it's not just, don't narrow down to what generosity looks like. We all have something to be generous with. Proverbs 11:24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. And those who help others are helped. Eyes up, hands out, and lastly, knees bent. Knees bent. We look up, we have our hands out, and we bend low. Knees bent. You see, if it's your first time in church, you will see that in our church, we don't really see a disconnect between your Sunday and Monday. Matter of fact, we say to all our preachers, when you preach on a Sunday, preach to people's Mondays. We don't think you should compartmentalize what Sunday and Monday looks like, because what happens on a Monday should be a direct reflection of what happened on a Sunday. That what happens in here, in a church setting, what happens here between you and Jesus should actually be seen and be evident in the way we talk to people, in the way we work in our workplace, in the way we talk to our friends and family, in the way we treat people around. There should be evidence of what's happening here. It's not just, oh, I went to church, but out there, I'm going to live however way I want. No, the two are closely connected. And we believe that every single one of us, whatever season you're in, whatever it is that is in your hand right now, that it exists in your hand to actually further the kingdom of God. Not just further church, further the kingdom of God. In helping people to find Jesus. You know, we don't want to just build a culture where people just come and consume church. Consumerism. Where we just come and consume church. All right, give me another sermon. Nah, it's not that good. All right, I'll give you a break. You obviously need a break too. You know, we don't want to just come in and consume church.
consume a sermon, consume worship, and then go out and live however way we want. No, we want to have a culture where we're not spiritually fat, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of ministry, for works of service. This is not all there is to ministry. A matter of fact, this is the smallest part of ministry. Ministry takes place at your workplace. Ministry takes place at your school. Ministry takes place around your dinner table. We don't need 500 pastors. What we need is 500 priests around dinner tables, 500 priests in workplaces. We need you to be the light of the earth and the salt of the earth. That's what we need. If anything, we exist to help you. That's why we put on, you know, these growth tracks and Next Step Sundays, because we try to give you tools to be better husband, to be better wife, for us to go out and be the light in the dark places, to go out and bring life where there is death, to go out and bring hope where there's hopelessness, to go out and show love where there is no love. In order to use what is in our hand, in order to bless the people around us. And I think the moment we start thinking, yeah, but it's my money. No, no, but it's my job. No, but it's my talent. No, it's my time. The moment the selfishness occurs, which normally is the same time we take our eyes down. But it's mine. My precious. It's mine. All mine. The moment we focus on it's me and mine, it's the moment we lost focus on why we exist. Yeah, you can go on a holiday. Amazing. Yeah, you can buy a car. Amazing. You can buy a boat if you want to. I don't care. But all of us have a responsibility to ask this one question, or to answer this one question. What does loving God and loving people look like for us in this season? What does loving God and loving people look like for us in this season? All of us ask that question. So you're enjoying your retirement. Amazing. Enjoy your retirement. So what's loving God and loving people going to look like for you while you're enjoying your retirement? I'm a CEO. I'm too busy. I've got so much on. Fantastic. That's amazing. I respect that. What does loving God and loving people look like for you? Yeah, but I'm starting up a business. That's amazing. God bless you with that. We want to encourage you with that. So what does loving God and loving people look like for you in that season? I'm a new parent and my baby's awake all night. I get that. Trust me. What does loving God, loving people look like for you in that season? I'm a student. I'm just studying all day. Amazing. Amazing. May God bless you with a lot of wisdom and grace and mercy to do that. What does loving God, loving people look like for you in that season? Yeah, but I'm a pastor. I don't see any non-Christians. What does loving God, loving people look like for you in that season? All of us must ask that question. It's the constant of life. Love God and love people. And I just find in my life, whenever, you know, let's be honest, we all think it at times. We all get selfish at times, many times a day. All of us get times, you know, it sounds glamorous to jump on a flight to Sydney. It's not that glamorous. Once you've done it once or twice, you'll realize economy is not that awesome for 26 hours. And it's easy to sit there, you know, while your back is there and you're breathing in air that someone just coughed out on, you know, the first row. It's easy to sit there and go, what am I doing? I'd rather be home with my family. It's easy on the long days to be thinking, why am I doing this? It's easy to be thinking after a big week of work, I don't want to serve a church. It's easy to go selfish. It's easy. And I just think for me, when my thinking starts degrading to that point, when my eyes start dropping, when my hands start going back, when I start standing upright to take my stand in what is mine, I think of this one prayer that King David, he prayed in 2 Samuel 7:18. When he went in and he sat before the Lord and he said, who am I, sovereign Lord? And what's my family that you have brought me this far? Who am I, sovereign Lord? And what's my family that you have brought me this far. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to even have a first world problem. I don't deserve to even be in this situation. I don't even deserve salvation. It is only by your grace. Who am I? And what is my family? You have brought me this far. Can I tell you, you will never stand taller than when you kneel before God. You will never stand stronger than when you let your guards down and you stand before God and you say, God, who am I? And what is my family that you have brought us this far? It is by your grace and your grace alone. Who am I to say, this is me, this is mine? God, it all belongs to you. Everything I have, everything I own, it is for the service of the King. Everything I have, every breath of my lungs, every time on my clock, everything that I have, Jesus, you bought it, you redeemed it, you gave it to me. It's a gift from you, Lord Jesus. Who am I to say this is mine and that's not yours? And who am I to put dividing lines in my life and say, Jesus, I want this for myself? Who am I and what is my family that you brought me this far to suddenly start dividing up my life and say, no, you cannot interrupt my day. No, you cannot send a hurting person my way. No, you cannot send an unchurched my way in the middle of the night. You cannot wake me up in the middle of the day. You cannot do this. Who am I and what is my family? Who am I to say, God, you cannot send someone my way that needs financial help? Who am I and what is my family? It is all from Him. It all belongs to Him and it's all for the glory of Him. It is all His. And so we live our lives with our eyes looking upwards, with our hands reaching out ready for service, and with a heart that is bent low, saying, God, it all belongs to you. And if you can use anyone, then use me.